Okay.
Huh?
Oh, I tried to.
Okay, I caught, I caught that. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Cool. Welcome back to the Point Podcast with your boys Michael, Afo, and Enoch. Wagwan.
Wagwan, what's up? What's up?
We have a very special guest in the building today. I'll let him introduce himself. Special guest, reveal yourself.
Yeah, my name's Todd Jemphy. Some people know me as Brother T.
Brother T.
Brother T.
Pastor Todd.
Nah.
Pastor Todd.
Pastor.
Yeah.
Pastor T.
I dabble in.
How would you say that?
You dabble in the ministry here.
I dabble in the ministry.
I dabble in the ministry.
Yeah. So yeah, we've got Todd on the podcast today.
Yo.
Because he's got some wise words of wisdom. On the podcast. We're going to be talking about manhood. What is it to be a man? What does manhood look like? What makes you a man? Hypermasculinity, all of that jazz. Mm-hmm. So, without
I'm a feminist.
You're a feminist.
Afro.
You ain't a feminist.
I'm a feminist. Do you know what's funny? I was talking to my sister this morning and she was like, I like the ideas of being a feminist,
mm-hmm.
but I wouldn't want to be a feminist. And the reason being, yeah, I tell you, when we went Cotswolds 2 years ago, mm-hmm. so we're on our way to Cotswolds and I was in the car with Chloe. It was myself, Chloe, Angela, and Chelsea.
Was that 2 years ago? That was a year ago.
That's 2016, bro. That was 2016.
A year and a half.
Two full years.
Not 2 full years ago.
Okay, it's not 2 full years. Yeah. A year and a half. So we're in the we're in the car. So we're in the car and we're stopping off at Angela's house to pick her up here. I'm in the passenger seat, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm in the passenger seat, and then Angela's mum comes out and she just says hello to everybody, yeah. And I remember feeling, because I can't drive, yeah. I remember feeling like worthless. Wow. I could not believe, and Chloe was driving the car, yeah. I could not believe I was in the passenger seat, yeah, and I wasn't driving. And that day, I vowed never to go in a car with a woman as a driver ever again. Wow. I felt really, I know.
The passenger
and
do you know how bad that is? Friends,
it's
right.
Awful to think like that. Can I just say, disclaimer, it is awful to think like that, yeah? But, like, there are some traits from... I've got a little bit of pride. And when it comes to things like that,
You're a Yoruba Nigerian.
I'm Nigerian, man. I can't help it. I was just like, nah, never again.
No, but why were you feeling that way, though? Why were you feeling that way?
I don't know. I just felt like... I should be driving.
Okay.
Even though, you know, anybody can drive. And I shouldn't feel the type of way because I can't.
So you felt like driving defines you as a man then?
It's a contributing factor.
Okay.
But it's not though.
Okay.
It doesn't define you as a man, but I feel the type of way, you know?
Mm. I can relate to that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that does make sense. But then, like...
I'm not sexist though, if you think I am. I'm not.
Where did that come from?
No, because it sounds like, oh yeah,
it sounds
women,
sexy.
If a woman drives me, then
Yeah.
So you felt shame.
Yes.
And so, all right. So let's explore that a little bit then.
Shouldn't
yeah? do. So where did you learn that a man is supposed to drive a woman around?
I'm Nigerian.
Okay.
You can't really put it like that.
I think it's not even just a Nigerian thing. Really, it's more of like. There's always been this idea that the man is in charge and the man basically tends to all the women's needs.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So one of them is driving them around.
Mm.
The other one is paying for all the bills.
Mm.
Another one is, okay, basically being the breadwinner of the home, you know?
Mm-hmm. The provider.
The provider. I'm not saying that those are my thoughts, but, you know.
Are they
I'd
your
like to
thoughts?
Say I've gone through a lot of unlearning.
Okay.
But one of the things that I've kept hold on to is the fact that I got to drive. She could drive as well, but just not when I'm driving.
So when are you getting your license then?
Huh?
When are you getting your license?
I've been forced to learn how to drive this Saturday, coming this Saturday.
Oh, that's good.
I've been forced to. Right. So
okay. By whom?
Where? My mum.
That's good. That's good.
So how come your dad hasn't forced you to drive?
Oh, my dad is as well. Oh, but right. I do listen to my dad. I do listen to him. But, like, it's my mum that's, like, really drummed it into my ear. Yeah.
Right, cool.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Todd?
I would say that, because me personally, I can relate to what you're saying, bro. Because before I was driving, I was like, okay, one of the factors was I liked the idea of me wanting to drive my woman around. I liked the idea. Not that she can't drive me around or anything, but it made me feel as if, okay, I'm worth something. But I come to realize that just because you can drive doesn't define your masculinity, should I say. That's what I think, really.
Yeah. What do you think then defines masculinity? Because I feel like when we're younger as boys, you're tall, you know, drive, you know, get a good job, you need to earn more money than your woman, you need to, like, I don't know, like, learn how to build stuff in the house, things like that, like, repair things, like, that's what makes you a man.
I think where we kind of, I'd say failed a society, it's a bit harsh, but I would say that manhood is more about what manhood is rather than what you are. So in a sense of your character, your values, your principles, what you stand for rather than what you do, how much you earn, what you go about, because men come in all shapes and different sizes. So a guy with big muscles, one can say, oh yeah, that's a man. But then, for example, are we going to say that Arnold Schwarzenegger is a better man than Martin Luther King because he's got more muscles than him? No. Are we going to say that Hugh Hefner is a better man than Martin Luther King because he got more girls than him? Mm-hmm. No. What defines Martin Luther King better than, should I say, these other guys is his character, what he stands for, his principles. Mm-hmm. And I think that lies back to Jesus Christ, his principles, his values, what he stood for. Mm-hmm. And once we as men understand that, we're able to find identity in that through Christ and obviously be able to stand firm in what we are as men, because there's so many things, there's so many definitions of what a man is, and it's very confused. Guys would think that, you know, in order for you to be a man, you need to conquer so many women's hearts. But I think true manhood is when you're not conquering women's hearts, but when you're conquering lust in your own heart, you know. Wow. So even from that,
what a bar.
Even from that, it's weird because it comes from a biblical standpoint, and that's where we need to put our foundation on.
Okay, because I was just about to ask you, so would you say that your definition of manhood is based off Christ?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
100%.
Okay. Is yours, Afro?
It's mine.
Yes.
Yeah, nah. I said yes. That was a hesitant yes.
Yes. Because it can't be, it has to be the Bible, it has to be God, Jesus Christ. It can't be society, because society's definition of manhood has changed over the years. It's not
right.
It's not that's the same. The Bible, it remains the same, it will be the same, and it will remain the same forevermore. That is something that's stable. And we go back onto that and lean upon that, we can go back to biblical people, and lean back on, okay, and their mistakes, their successes, what enabled them to want to become a man. When before David died, he commanded his son, you know, be strong, be courageous, and be a man. You know, and then we have to look at the aspects of, okay, what caused Sam? I've got his name now. Samson.
Who?
David's son, Solomon.
Solomon, yeah.
To be a man, he was the wisest man, the Bible says, in all the world. But at the same time, we can see his faults. He had 300 concubines, 700
wives. And in concubines. Modern day society, that's like, right, you're a man.
You're a man.
You've got loads of girls.
You've got loads of girls.
Do you know what I mean? But yeah.
Gallus.
Yeah.
But we know that's not a man.
So was there ever a time where you questioned your own manhood growing up? Like, did you ever kind of compare yourself to other people? And this is for all of us.
Yeah.
Like, where you think, oh, I'm not like that guy, or I'm not like this guy.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
Secondary school.
Yeah. I used to bust low.
Yeah, me too.
To be like...
Yeah, because all the men them used to bust low.
Do you know
what's
so funny as well, though? That well, I've heard this. I don't know if it's confirmed, but that tradition of busting low came from, like, prison. With, like, gay guys, like... basically showing themselves to be available, but yeah, it was adopted into like mainstream kind of urban culture. Like, oh yeah, busting low,
because all the guys that used to bust low used to get the girls. So I used to think,
yeah,
that
if I bust low, it's so true.
Yeah, if I bust low, wear my tie really short. Yeah,
that was so stupid.
And wear trainers on. Yeah, I thought really I'd be that guy.
Okay, that tie that was about that long.
Like, yeah. Yeah, I thought I'd be that guy, but I wasn't that guy.
Do you know what it was for me? I wasn't really a sporty kind of guy in secondary school. So when it came to PE and that, like, I didn't really want to do it.
Yeah.
Because I was overweight as well. But I used to question my manhood, like, rah, them men are like, you know, they're like muscular and they're like all of these things. Like, they like sports, they play sports, like, that makes them more of a man. So I would then think, am I not a man then? Do you know what I mean? Like,
I also come to a point of where the question is, when did you... Okay, so do you guys think you're a man now?
100%. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
But there's also a question of where... at what point did you realise you were a man? Because, for example, for women, once they reach their menstrual cycle, they're now maybe considered a woman. But for a guy, we don't have...
When my voice dropped, I knew I was a man, bruv. I can't lie to you. When my voice dropped here... Okay, I was still in secondary school, but I was like, "Rah, my voice is deep, bruv."
I still like it when I wake up in the morning. That's when my voice is very deep.
Let's not even get into that. It's the sweet. Yeah, that's when you send the VN.
Yeah.
That's when you send the voice note.
One girl even called me in the morning. I was like, "Yes."
Yo, what are you saying?
You have to clear the throat, though.
Because you don't want it to be like deep.
Yeah.
You want it to be deep and deep. Clear deep.
Yeah. But now, either those aspects, it comes back.
I think
to
for me, it was my facial hair, man. it was my facial hair, man. That was like raw. Like only grown ups have this.
You had a beard from year 8, bro. Like all of us were struggling.
Yeah, no, it started growing down here, like on the bottom of my chin, and then eventually started coming around. But then I was like, okay, like
that was the same.
Yeah,
I had the same thing. Because I used to have it here.
Yeah. When
I had
it comes
it
here,
and everyone was like, "Michael,
what's that?" Now look at us.
And now, I think as well, like obviously, as I got older, and to your point, Todd, about my faith and like learning more about manhood biblically, that's what confirmed for me my manhood as well. Because you've got people like David, for example. Yeah, David was a warrior, but he was also like a singer-songwriter, bruv. Do you know what I mean? Like this guy, he would sing to God, he would play music to God, but then he was also a warrior. People like Jesus himself, like the shortest Bible verse is, you know, Jesus wept. And I think that for me, when I came to terms with that, it released permission for me to be that way as a man. If Jesus Christ, the savior of the world, can cry,
the man
knowing that he's going to fix the situation and yet still weep over it because everyone else is weeping, then how much more me?
Yeah.
So that's why I always find it interesting when I speak to guys and I'm like, when's the last time you cried? And they're like, oh, you know, 8 years ago, 9 years ago.
Them men are weird, man. 12
years ago, man, don't cry and that. I just find that very strange.
Man don't dance, man's not hot, like, man don't cry.
Man don't, man's not hot.
I hope that's his next track, you know, big one
thing. Man don't live, boy. Man don't live.
I'm like, there's so much in the world for you to be sad about, even if it's not your own situation. I just don't.
Yeah.
I find that very, very strange. If I meet a guy and he hasn't recently cried.
Have you found out? Have you realized that those sort of guys, when they do cry, it's an ugly cry.
Oh yeah.
It's all balled up.
Yeah.
It's all in there. It's not. Tears all over.
Yeah, it's not
over 8 years. Yeah. Of not crying.
Not crying.
Put out in one moment. It's not a good look.
Yeah. It's not a good look.
It's like when you shake a fizzy drink in a can or a bottle. Damn. Like when it comes up,
yeah,
mate,
it's not nice.
So yeah, that's what confirmed it for me. And I think like as you grow older, you learn more about yourself, and you're like, what I think as well, it was the perception that of what you thought girls liked in guys when you were younger compared to when you're older.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Because
I
speak to certain girls, even with the muscles thing. Yeah, certain girls would be like, I'm not really into that, muscles. Know? Like, I like a bit of.
Then why were you moving to them stupid boys then? Do you know what I mean?
Sound a bit
like,
bitter
why
there,
were you
big
moving
man.
With them stupid boys?
Because them stupid boys there. Didn't want them or they done them dirty, bruv. So now they're coming for the teddy bears. They want the teddy
dumb
bears.
Dumb girls! Sorry.
I thought you were a feminist.
Yeah, we'll look at feminists.
We are feminists.
Listen, it's 8 years of boiled up. Yes.
When did you realize that you were a man?
It's one of those things where you're told, but you don't realize it yourself. I think it was probably when I was 18 and my dad passed away.
Wow.
And then I was at uni and then coming back home And then all your aunties, uncles say, you are now the man of the house now. Daddy's not there anymore, you are now the man. And it's like, okay, well, first of all, what has my dad taught me about being a man? And I'm the oldest of three boys. Okay. So I've got two younger brothers. Right. So now if I'm the man of the house, doesn't mean I have to teach my brothers what it is to be a man. Right. And how am I going to be the man of the house when I'm in Bristol at uni?
Right.
And I have to come back home. So even from there, and I think I had to kind of realize, okay, you kind of have to step up. But now I was thinking, okay, if I step up, how am I stepping up financially? I ain't got money. Do I have to work during uni? How am I going to give money to my mum? How am I going to do A, B, C, D? And I think it was when I was in my church uni, shout out to God's House. They had a men's fellowship there, and just taking you through some courses, what it is to be a man. And I think it's very key, because sometimes as guys, we can be prideful. Someone come and tell you, take a course about being a manhood. Well, I'm a man. Yeah. I know what it is to be a man. Mm. But when you're vulnerable and then you go through the stages of not being proudful, take your ego out and you learn through it biblically, read through books, take a sort of a course thing that we've done. It's called Fraternity Manhood. And then you learn through it and then you understand, okay, how the manhood of Christ links to us being as man, and then finding your identity in Christ. That really helps. So yeah, I'd probably say from 18, that's the point for me personally.
Amazing.
I think that's what's interesting as well, is like, because I lost my dad when I was 12 as well.
Oh wow.
So I had an older brother that's kind of stood in and took that role. But immediately I remember having to grow up very, very quickly. And I remember
Mike was always mature. In secondary school, like he wasn't like us. He wasn't like me and Afro running around shouting on the bus, and you know,
but if I could, I would relive those. I would have that days doing that. I had to be very like aware. Like, okay, life is short.
Mm-hmm.
My father's been taken away from me. Life is very, very short. So let's not play no games, basically. And I think in that came the sort of, you know, having to be a man and grow older. Obviously, I didn't have the pressure of, oh, you're the man of the house and that. But I had to, like you said, what did your dad teach you about manhood? And this is just personally for me. I found that, like, spending time with God, and I don't know if you can testify to this as well, there's a scripture that says, a father to the fatherless and a defender of widows is God in his holy habitation. Yeah. And it's in the Psalms. And you know, like, God is like, oh, you know, he's our father and all of that. Like, he actually had to become my father figure. Like, teach me how to be a man. Teach me. And it's through that kind of, like I say, Jesus wept and David and the stories of biblical men that you actually see, okay, so these are men that they were strong and they were defenders of their household and they looked after their household, but they had very vulnerable moments as well. Like, people like Job lost everything, wailing out to God. But, you know, so it's interesting. So in terms of, like, because I guess one of the big things that we're seeing as well in London is a lot of this knife crime and gang culture, hyper masculinity. Like, can we say that a lot of it is down to these young boys not knowing what true manhood is and what it is to be a man?
Yeah, I do feel as if parenting is a contributing factor, and that's not to say that I'm putting the blame on them. I just feel as if they're in a difficult situation. One, you have to provide for the family, so financially you have to provide. I'll give you a great example. Like, when I was growing up, my dad used to work late, so he'd come home in the morning and I'd be going to school, and then by the time I come back, he's getting ready to go to work. So I wouldn't see my dad. But that's not to say that, you know, because of that, I started getting involved in some stupidness. Like, I was fine. Like, I was still, I wasn't involved in that life. But for other people, I wouldn't be surprised if that is, if that plays a factor into, you know, why they are who they are and why they allowed the environment to mold them instead of, you know, their parents. Because it's like, okay, you lose something, so you're looking for something to fill that void. So that's why a lot of the guys, when they say, when they're with the mandem, that's their family, because what used to be there or what wasn't there at all has now been replaced by these guys who have been able to fill that void. They are now their family. So they basically show them their way of life, and that is what they see as life. Do you see what I'm saying? So I think, yeah, definitely, like, parents, fathers, mothers, once one is missing, you're looking for something to fill that void. And unfortunately, I feel as if that they've gone down that route of, you know, joining gangs. So it's a contributing factor. It's not the whole thing. Mm. It's just it's one factor. But yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I believe it is. It's a major one.
Because elaborate even on that?
I don't have to because you did.
Okay, I did already. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
No, because it's like you said that it's a contributing
factor.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. That's the word that I was going
to
use.
You have to find it English.
English is rubbish, man. No, it is a contributing factor because... No. In fact, I think it takes more... It's more than just a contributing factor. It's probably the main thing.
Mm-hmm. I disagree.
I agree.
Yeah, see, no, but the thing is, what you just said is basically... You can say, oh, it could be family. Again, the family is not teaching... whoever it is going out doing a knife crime, mm-hmm. how to be a man.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? So they're unaware of who they are. Their identity is formed through like that primary upbringing. That from their family, their friendship, all of it contributes to who they are. And if they don't know who they are, they'll not act in the way that they should be acting, or they'll be acting in a way that they shouldn't be acting because they are unaware of who they are.
But that doesn't mean that that's the main factor, because people, we're all different, yeah, and we're affected by things differently. So you see Carl Locko, yeah?
Yeah.
So Carl Locko, his testimony was that, okay, he had his mum and his dad in his life, yeah? Mm. He had all of that. So when he was at home, he was the... shout out to Carl, man. Inspiration. Locks. Come on. So he was... he had his mother and father in his life. So when he was at home, he was the loving son. He was a loving son, but then when he left his house here and he was in the hood, he's the gang leader, you know. He's that guy. He's out here with the AKs and the shanks and all of this nonsense.
Yeah. But then why though?
Hold on. Yeah. So he's able to take that mask off and be that guy to in front of his friends. Mm. But then when he gets home, he's able to put the mask back on.
So here you're saying
that's a show that it's not just parenting. Because I'd like to assume that parenting, again, is just a contributing factor. Mm. It might not even be the reason for everybody.
Oh, okay. No, what I was saying is that it's not parenting. I wasn't even saying parenting. I was saying identity.
Okay.
Identity is influenced by parenting. So now the fact that he's two different people, that means he's not confident in whichever personality he wants to be, or like whatever his identity is, he is not comfortable with it. That's why when he goes somewhere else, he's a totally different person. One thing I've learned from my past is that integrity, basically like being the same wherever you go, is important.
Regardless of the situation.
If I'm at work and I'm swearing, effing this, blinding that, and I go somewhere else and I'm like, oh, praise the Lord. You know what I mean? What is that gaining me?
Mm-hmm.
And that only happened to me before because I wasn't sure. I didn't know who I was in Christ. So people that don't know who they are will go through that phase of being one way at home, saying, mommy, yes, mommy, yes, mommy, yes, auntie, da, 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 da. And then at school, they're saying, yo, fam, whatever, da, 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 trying to knife man up.
Mm.
So, like, identity is the main factor. People don't know who they are. Mm. And we're just not. They don't know who they are, and then they're not guided into their identity.
So they find identity in the groups, whatever situation they're in. They kind of
find
it through their tags as well.
Yeah,
because they prefer to be called by their tag name rather than their government.
Right. Ooh, I never thought about that.
That's good actually.
They're like, this is what I am. This is who I am. This is what I was brought up, and I think it's. Like, it's a good kind of way, like, oh, you know, this is life, this is what I grew up around. But then again, that's still, like, not good enough.
I didn't choose the streets.
That's not good enough. Like, whether that's who you are, like, if you are a Christian, let's say, and I think this is why, like, roadmen that get saved, I think that's when they actually get it. They actually change.
Mm.
Where the Bible says that we're born in sin and we're meant to deny ourselves anyway. So whether the streets chose me or whatever, I'm meant to deny who I am anyway, because I'm a totally new life.
Mm-hmm.
And even if I wasn't a Christian, and I say the streets chose me. You know what? I don't want the streets to choose me.
The streets you don't even own.
Yeah, the streets.
It's owned by the council.
Streets, yeah, the streets yeah, that Theresa May.
You know, and you don't even pay council tax.
So yeah, do you know what I mean? So like, the streets, even that, like, okay, no, the same way you decided not to go to school is the same way you can decide not to go to, like, you know, stay on the road. Yeah. There are people that literally just, one day they just woke up like, bun school, man. Yes, bun the hood, bun the street. Do you know what I mean? You can actually do that. You have the power to do that, but they don't know they have the power to do that. They think they're trapped in it. It's a mindset. They think they're trapped
so
in
maybe
it.
Maybe. But
it is a mindset.
Argue with me.
Yes, I do. I do agree there is a mindset, but it really depends on circumstances can be different for each individual. Mm. It really depends on how deep you are in it. Because if you're selling drugs here, and you're in it, and you say, oh, bun the streets. You owe somebody money.
Yeah, it's hard
what streets are you bunning?
Yeah, no, but if you, but at some point you're gonna break even. At some point, who do you owe money? So you sell drugs for someone, right?
Yeah,
they pay you whatever remains or whatever. If you go, okay, this is my last run, you go do it, and then you're like, you can be like bun the streets. You can't be like bun
but
the
if you're
streets
constantly making their
like
money. If you're constantly making their money, you think and you just you think you, it's easy to just come out the game like that.
No,
oh,
no
I'm just
that.
Handing in my P45, my notice. Yeah, I'm done. I'm done with the streets.
Yeah,
yeah. I've just been promoted. I'm going to somewhere else.
Retail.
Moving to retail.
So then what? So what is the difference from someone that finds Christ, someone that is saved, and they say that I'm coming off, and they come off, and they're fine? Than
it's
from someone
grace
who
of God, really.
That's God,
grace of God, empowerment.
Grace of God.
So you're saying without God, it's impossible to come out of that situation?
No,
I'm not saying it's not impossible. It's just difficult. It's difficult. And again, I'm talking from the perspective of somebody that has never been on the roads.
So probably need somebody from the roads to come and
assist them. Because it's hard for me to really even talk about this.
Yeah.
I've never been on the roads, but I can't imagine it being. I can't imagine it being easy because I've watched Top Boy.
did you see that boy off the balcony
from a flat screen? Dashane,
who is it?
The little boy.
Yeah, the little boy.
Still Dashane. Waiting for that new season, big
man. Drake come through, man.
Dashane was Ashley Walters, Asher D from So Solid Crew.
And Kano was in it as well.
No, who was the kid that got thrown? The white kid, isn't it?
No,
the black kid.
The white kid, because he was trying to protect Dashane, because Dashane actually wanted to get off the roads, but he must have. I think he ran into like a weed farm that was owned by Albanians. They were owned by Albanians.
Oh,
yeah,
and then
so they were looking for him. So he's coming to the flat. Dashane, the little boy's already in the flat, and so the Albanians, I think they're about to leave the flat. Because they're about to find Dashane, and then the little boy's like, he goes to the balcony, Dashane.
Don't come back.
These guys don't care. They threw a child off the balcony.
Yeah.
So for me, and I'd like to think that that is a depiction of what reality is for some of these people that are on the road.
Yeah, I know. But the thing is,
it's too easy to say I quit.
Yeah, but this is not what we're talking about. Is not necessarily like getting out of the hood. Like, we know, like, if you live in an area where you're in the hood, you can't just up and leave that area. Do you know what I mean? Necessarily.
There's so many steps you need to move.
But the point I'm making is more like, when they're in these gang cultures, the reason why it happens like this, firstly, is the economic side. People get more money selling drugs than they do working
retail.
Or
do they?
Yeah.
Come on.
So why would you do it?
Retail. Okay.
Yeah, working retail
or working
corporate jobs, bro. Like, people get.
But again, that depends on how deep you're in it.
People can get your monthly salary
in
a week.
Do you know what I mean? It's fast money. That's why people do it. But what I'm saying is, when people are in these gangs, I feel like, especially on the topic of manhood, young men, what happens in these gangs is like it's all about suppressing your natural feelings, like suppressing emotion, suppressing, you know, vulnerability, suppressing, you know, oh, what are you scared for? What are you crying for? Like, shut up. Like, do you know what I mean? It's all about, like, suppressing yourself.
I used to get cussed when I cried in school.
Exactly.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Which
you
is
cried
why
in school?
Cried in school.
Because it takes a lot of suppressing to stab somebody and not feel a certain way about
it.
I've seen some videos, I can't believe how they calmly just stab somebody.
I can't
like
watch a video.
I can't believe it.
I can't even watch it.
But and it makes you think, like, okay, you're saying Carl Loco, and I'm sure there's other people who've got their mums and dads, and they yet they're still in gangs, but it's all about identity at the end of the day. Mm. It's like, do you really know who you are, or are you kind of, you know, because you're in the gang and they like you and whatever, and they're feeding your ego, that you're like, okay, I'm going to go with that route because people like that version of me, so that's mm-hmm. the version of me that I'm going to follow. Or are you going to kind of discover your own identity and walk in that in an integral way where it's like, even when I'm with gangs, I'm not going to be this way, I'm going to be myself. Do you get what I mean? Because I feel like people will you'll pander to what everyone wants you to be rather than actually who you are. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're not strong in who you are.
Yeah, if you're not strong in who you are. So I just feel like, yeah, that's what I think.
I was also going to say, it's also a generation cycle in the sense of where your father can only teach you what he knows about being a man.
Right. Yes. And a lot of these guys, their dads are just like them, but just 20 years older.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, there's certain men that I'm, you know, like, it's not kids having kids, but there's certain men that haven't had, like, grown up into a, like, a mature mindset. And then when they have children, that's what they're teaching their young kids. Like, you know, even if they're from that drug culture or whatever, like, you know, they'll teach their young kids about stuff like
boys raising boys.
Exactly.
See, but see, that the thing is, the reason why I say that, I know that they can get out and they want to get out, and maybe because you see some brothers or like older siblings or even fathers that would be like, oh no, I would never want my son to get into this kind of life. Why are you in it? You are the change. So whatever they do, they're watching you. Your children only learn how to walk because they see you walking around the house.
Right.
Your children only learn how to speak because they hear what you say.
Mm.
And like, they learn from you. Whether it's bad or good, they are a mini version of you.
Mm.
That's what they are. Mm. So if you want your son to be the greatest man in the world, you have to be the greatest man in the world. If you want your son to be an idiot, you have to be an idiot. Mm. Mm. And that's basically that's how it is. It's a generational thing. Mm. It's like, you can only teach him what you know. So in order for you to be able to make sure that your son or your daughter is excelling in life, you have to be excelling in life.
So I agree 100%. Mm. What do you guys think about then influences manhood? Like, what influences you growing up? Is it culture?
Women,
is it,
you know.
Women.
Yeah. Women.
Is it? I think women play a big
role. Yeah.
They play a massive
role. Women influenced me more than men in my life.
Go on.
Growing up. Yeah, because So growing up, before my dad even came to the country, like, he came in 98, I grew up with my two sisters, my mum and my grandmother. So I was just surrounded by women. And even when my dad came, like, again, my dad was here late, so I didn't see him all the time. So I'm just in the house with just women. And it's just, I don't know, it's just, you know, picking up. And do you know what, and like, really just watching my mum. Like, my mum is a very hard worker. Like, even now, she works. So, like, small things I would pick up from her, like, even when she's joking around, like, okay, for example, I don't know, I go and buy some sweets. Yeah, I go and buy some sweets for, like, £1. My mum will say, do you know what I can buy with £1 in 10 places? You know, things like that. Like, even though she's like I'm joking around and laughing, like, it's gone into my subconscious. And I think about that all the time. Like, it's so small, but it's like really helped me towards, you know, focusing on trying to save my money. You know, so like, despite her not really knowing, she's really taught me a lot about saving by just saying that one thing. And things like, and just the fact that my mum generally is just a hard worker, like, I can't, if I'm not working harder than my mum, then like, what am I doing? You know, so I learned a lot by just being around women. Even my sisters, like, my little sisters, despite her being younger than me, she's like really wise. So I listen to what she has to say. So for me, if you wanted me to define what a man is, I just use what I've learned from women, really. Yeah.
What about you, Todd?
Big man, you're going to see the question again.
Yeah, no worries. I haven't forgot what I asked. What are the influences? What are the influences on manhood?
Oh, me personally or in general?
For you personally.
Oh, I would have said media, girls, culture, obviously Christ Bible, but also mainly into a mature state, it would have been a community of guys, mm-hmm. community of married men, community of guys who are biblically following, looking after Christ, and then you can see it in their lives, that are evident, you know, chilling at their houses, looking how they interact with their wives and their kids, because I think that's absolutely key in terms of discipleship, mentoring, mm-hmm. All of that. So I feel like that really influenced me, and also experiences as well. Mm-hmm. Because especially like when my dad passed away, it's almost as if I felt the need to want to provide again for my mum, and it's almost like I generally can't. Mm. So what am I meant to do? And then helping me to understand, okay, there's a time and a season for that. Right. Once you graduate, you get your job, and then you can do all that providing. But this is your time of studying in university. Don't worry, God is going to look after your family. God is going to do what He needs to do. There's a reason why your dad passed away at a certain time. So even then, that helping you to mature as a man, having that mature mindset, because or some you could say, you know, you're going to grind any way you can, you know, work as hard as you can, even in uni. I respect people who work in uni, because I didn't, you know, but personally, I generally couldn't. I didn't have the time and all of that. But people could say, oh, no, but you need to grind, you need to do this. But from a mature mindset and helping me to trust in God, to know that, you know what, God, you took... my father's gone, but I know you're going to provide for one way or another for my family. Good. So, yeah. That's
good. You work in the media industry. So how do you feel like the media impacts manhood? Negatively, positively?
It impacts it a lot. We cannot deny it. From mm-hmm. your perfumes mm-hmm. To your products. Obviously, when you have like... a perfume, you're going to see the man with a six pack, and you're going to see the nice girl that's walking past him. So for unintentionally, subconsciously, you're going to feel, okay, I need that perfume to get that girl.
Remember Links?
Yeah. Links. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
the Links adverts. Yeah.
So from that, you may think, oh no, it's dumb. But then at the end of the day, when you see that in the supermarket, you'll be like, yeah, let me get this. Let me try and see if it really works. So media plays a really big part.
Just about that chocolate one, you know, the Lynx chocolate.
Yeah.
Lynx Africa.
Yeah, because you know that adverts they used to show, the guy would wear it, and the women
and the girls are just
animals, isn't it? And me, I remember the first time I bought it, I was like, I went into school thinking, shit, and I was looking at them, like, just looking around, like, you see, like,
where are they?
If they're not coming, I'll go to the toilet and spray some more. Come back.
So yeah, it plays a really big role, and so understanding what's true, what's a myth, mm-hmm. from that will kind of really help you to decide and to know, okay, what is really affecting you and your
experiences. It's true, you know, and like I say, from conversations I've had with women, you really will be surprised at what they find attractive mm-hmm. and what they don't find attractive.
Yeah.
Like there's loads of like I said. Muscle, I'm not into that. I like a bit of, you know,
belly
you know, and all of that kind of thing. And a lot of girls, like, you know, when you see Mandem and they've got one.
Go to the gym, though, Mandem. Like, still go to the gym.
Still go to the gym. Look after yourself. But look after yourself because you want to look after yourself, not because you're trying to do it to win a girl.
Bun them, bro.
Yeah, bun them. But that's okay.
No, but it's hard, though. Sorry to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
It's hard because it's almost as if, even if you do subconsciously, if you're not really digging out to the roots, that could be one of the reasons why you're going gym. You may say, I need to look after myself. But then, because, for example, if there's a girl that's giving you attention because you got nice abs, you're going to like it and think, okay,
true.
Cool. But if a girl gives you attention, but you're not fazed about it, then I can solidly say, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. You're not getting to the gym for your girls. But subconsciously, you could be, and you might not even realize it until you get attention.
Do you not think, though, to a degree, that we're all kind of doing that? Like, everybody, like, to a degree, we don't wear. I mean, some girls say, you know, I dress for myself and that, I dress for myself.
Rubbish.
But I'm like, I feel like it's a lie. Everybody wears certain clothes because they want to, even if it's not like majorly attract, just get a glance from someone. Mm. Like, we all do it.
Small glance. Why do you think we get haircuts?
As much as I like to go to the gym because it makes me feel better, like in the day, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'll go in the morning and I'll feel
is
better.
Is that really?
But it's not the sole reason. It's not the sole reason.
Is that really?
I mean, I hope when you're married, like, sex is better when you're fit, do you know what I mean? Like, things like that. So, anyway, maybe that was a bit TMI. But yeah,
cardio, that.
Do you know what I mean? So, and yeah, I do want to look nice in summer. I do want to, you know. Anyway, let me just stop talking.
Body goals in
there. Let me stop talking.
No, but it's true, yeah. At some point, the things that we do, the way that we dress.
We all do it, man. We all do it. Yeah. And girls do it.
Oh, of course.
You know.
They're the worst. I mean, they're not worst, but they are the... They do it the most.
No, nah, women are the worst, to be honest.
Feminist afro.
Hey, I'm a feminist, but I gotta tell the truth sometimes. I mean, like, yeah, women are the worst for sure.
Guys don't lie.
We don't lie. You know those girls, yeah? They go out like, oh, just get out my girlfriend.
It's for myself.
Yeah, for myself. Get my hair done, makeup did, all of that. No, you go through that whole effort just for yourself.
Dead.
Like 2 hours, spending two,
go, go
three
in the,
hours.
Go in your do-rag. Why can't you just go in your silk
head?
No, no. No, you got to allow it. Because I think it's pressure from guys as well that put it on
them.
Because if you're a girl and you're not getting that sort of attention, you don't have your identity. I keep coming back to that, but it's key. And you don't have your identity if you are as a woman. And you're looking around and there's guys giving attention to your girl and she's dressed a certain way, you're going to think, you know what? I want to get attention too. So I'm going to dress a certain way. I'm going to put on makeup, all this sort of stuff. I'm going to reveal myself on Insta, all that sort of mad stuff.
Reveal myself! Hey, language.
And not dress modestly and not understand that, listen, you don't have to dress a certain way to get a guy. Even if you do, you're not going to get the right guy.
Yeah. Hey. Do you know, I can't lie to you, yeah. Can I just the confessions here? Like, the modest dressing is actually very, very attractive.
Yeah.
I don't think girls understand. Like, you know the whole, you know that shoulder,
we've spoken about this.
You know the shoulder dresses that girls are wearing these days? It's the new cleavage, basically. You don't, you're not showing me anything, but it's just
shoulder.
I don't know.
You man got a fetish about shoulders, yeah?
Well, I like shoulders.
I like a girl with sexy shoulders.
Collarbone, I like it, man.
They can contour the collarbones, you know.
Yeah, I've seen them do that. I've seen one girl with like glitter kind of thing over her. I was like, boy.
They like the glitter, shining.
Yeah.
Shout out to them, though.
Oh, that's that. Okay, so another thing, yeah, about manhood. So I was speaking to my friend the other day, and she said that her mum was saying like, "Raw, like man, them these days they're weak. Like guys are weak." She said it in Jamaica. She was like, "Oh no, weak. The man them too weak because." Like how these days our generation likes to play a lot of games and men won't go up to women and say when they're interested in them just off the bat. Like they won't just say, they're very scared. And so as we're talking about manhood, what are you lot's viewpoints on talking to girls? Do you feel like our generation is a lot less
forward? I'm going to say, I can only speak for myself, yeah? When you approach and you do the right thing and you do everything that you're supposed to do, yeah? Yeah? And then somebody starts playing games, yeah? That's when it becomes long, innit?
Okay, cool.
Bitter.
Bitter.
Don't be bitter.
Continue, innit?
I think men are meant to pursue women.
That's 100%.
That's my opinion. I see it from interpretation of scripture. Mm-hmm. It talks about he who finds a wife finds a good thing.
Yeah, but Ruth lied down at the foot of Boaz, you know. She really made herself available. I'm just saying.
I know.
She availed herself to the opportunity.
Because if
Boaz,
I don't know,
I'm here.
Boaz.
But then I say there's exceptions to the rule.
Okay.
Sometimes. Because... even out of experiences that we see from other people, like, do Christian guys like it when a woman approaches them and tells them?
Do you know what? Yeah. Do you know what I said?
Secular guys will like it because they think it's quite easy.
In one of our previous episodes, I said, yeah, I'd like that. Rubbish. No, I don't want no girl. Like, I'd rather do it. I want to. If. Like, you know, the modern thing now is that women propose to men. God forbid.
Raise up off of your knee. Raise up.
I'm going to kick you down. Get up. Go home.
Get up.
Get up.
You better get up.
No, but even that, what led to her doing that? What led to her initiating that process?
Because the man
was passive.
Was weak.
No, but I have to defend us. Because sometimes women will play games and they're not like straightforward. They're not upfront with what is it they want as well.
No, but as a man...
Because can you read women? Can you guys say that you can really read women?
I have word of knowledge.
No, but like, even in that, in terms of initiating stuff, I think it's still a step of faith, if you're really honest. Because even if you can't read, yeah, I'm taking that step of faith to say to you, listen, this is my intentions. This is what I want to do. This is where I feel like I want to go with you. I want to be more than friends with you. I want to do ABC and get to this certain point where we can become husband and wife.
Hey. However, there's only so many times you can have egg on your face before.
What does that mean?
There's two. You know, you know when
as in when they throw egg at
when
you.
When you get rejected, like, yeah, for some guys, true. Yeah, it's too much.
No, but I can't lie. There's a lot of people who I don't know.
Not saying that's me.
Have you
said
it's too much?
Okay.
You know what it is? Okay. No one said it. Thought it was you. No one said it. Have you guys seen the Black Love documentary?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? It's good. Todd's my guy. I feel like There's a lot of couples in that documentary where the woman wasn't really feeling the guy to begin with, and then through his persistent, yeah, you know, prayer and pursuing,
major key
persistence, he got her in the end. And but I will say though, like, I feel like guys are scared of rejection,
yeah,
including myself. Yeah. So I think that's why we don't maybe pursue, because we don't want our feelings hurt.
And I think that's where even though I've been through that and it hurts, but that's where your character is now burst through.
Wow.
Because it's not just through rejection of a girl rejecting you. What about a job? A job might reject you. Why'd you try again?
Because I need the money.
Okay, so try again when it comes to a woman. You desire marriage? Yeah, try again, bro.
Hey, this is a...
It's hard, because I'm speaking to myself, big man. But you try again. It's related back to Christ, you know. He pursues us. Yeah. He pursued the church. We didn't even like him. The church didn't even like him. He died for us while we were yet sinners.
And he's still pursuing us.
And he's still pursuing us right now. So even as guys...
Enoch's nervous. He's picking his nails.
All right, guys, try again then.
Enoch's nervous. He's picking his nails.
All right, guys, try again then.
So again, even as guys, Christian guys, Christian men, look into Christ as that example, keep pursuing her. Or maybe it's just a case of saying, okay, that's who not God has called you to be with.
Do you think
isn't the one, though?
I don't believe there's a one.
There's no one.
But it could be a case of where God is saving you from a bad marriage.
Yeah.
True,
and you're crying and fasting and praying for this one girl.
Yeah.
And she might not even be...
And further down the line, she'll come and ruin your life.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys think that it is... do you guys think that through persistent pursuing, that you can get any girl that you want?
Yes.
No. Yes. No. No.
Yes. No. No.
Explain it to
no.
me.
No.
Because there's a stage at where it becomes big
creepy.
Man, yeah, you're kind of stalking this.
Big man, you're stalking me now.
Relax.
And big man, stop.
I don't want to get so spiritual, but I think it's almost like being led of the Holy Spirit as well.
Mm.
Because the Holy Spirit, it will tell you, like, listen, okay, keep going, keep pursuing, or telling you, like, listen, big man, this ain't your girl. But then you, out of you wanting it to God to say yes, you're going to continue pursuing. You'll probably ask God, is this the woman for me? And then you're praying for a yes, but are you willing to hear a no?
Yeah, but why would God say no?
Because one isn't
it could
good
be
for
trash
you.
Marriage.
But no, but they, but like,
no,
nah,
because
man,
if God gives you choice,
okay, I feel like no. But that's the thing: if God sees all, and He sees that your future with this woman is corrupt and is not gonna,
but why would it be
why
corrupt?
Wouldn't you want Him to say no?
But then, you would want Him to say no.
Yeah, you would love Him to
of
say
course,
no.
Of course, because you don't want to go through corrupt marriage. Yeah. But like
corrupt
Merrick. We had a friend called Merrick who used to be called corrupt at uni.
It was there, yeah, corrupt.
Secondary school. Yeah. Okay. But the thing is though, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why I'm lifting my hands. But like,
hallelujah.
It's almost like, how can we, why do we always go, if God, like, if she's not feeling me, then it means that, you know, in the future, our marriage was going to be corrupt and all of that kind of thing.
Because
I know Christians that have got married and then they've divorced after like 20, 30 years.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Are you mean to tell me that the whole marriage was corrupt, or was it like right at the end, you know? And, you know, they were prayerful about getting into marriage and everything together. So how do we... Mm. I don't feel like it's...
One answer.
I feel like... throughout your relationship, you have to be seeking God as the man to lead your woman, and continually do that and not be slacking it, no matter who it is that you get with.
Mm.
I don't think it's a thing of like, okay, God has said yes, so that means everything's going to be perfect now.
You see, but that's the thing. There's time. I believe God can say yes and no when it comes to marriage. Mm-hmm. I believe that he can.
Because why do you believe that?
I'm trying to think of a good biblical example. He's a confirmer.
He is, but who do we know in scriptures where he's confirmed that,
he said
this,
that
is
this is your wife?
Yeah, the only one I can think of is Abraham when the servant,
Abraham's servant, went for Isaac. That's what I was thinking about. But even then, it wasn't like, oh yes, this is the one. It was the servant that prayed and said, oh, if let the woman that is for Isaac
say
come
this.
And do this and say this, and do you know what I mean? Yeah. So even then, but then, what if then that Rebecca now came and did all of that for the servant, mm-hmm. and then Isaac goes, well, I know God confirmed this woman, but I want someone else, and I want to pursue that other person instead.
Then
what? This is where I'm saying, like, God can, like, in a sense, he can say, oh yeah, this is the one for you, and this, well, the one, well, this one's a good one for you. I believe that. Again, the three standard chord. Like, if God is in the center of your marriage, it will work. Mm. It must work. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Look at me looking at the light. Amen.
Yeah.
They can see me. No, like, it will work for you. But then, if you are, like, I've said this before. I know that, okay, it can work with anyone, but God knows who you're going to enjoy marriage with the most.
Mm. Yeah.
And I would like for him to point me in that direction. Do you know what I mean?
Because he's your father. Yeah. It's almost like an example. I remember when God gave this to me. It's almost like he gave me a vision of a father holding his son, his child, and crossing the road. And the father's holding the son, stopping at the red stop sign where it says, do not cross. Now, the child is persistent to get over to the other side because he wants to go and play. But the child doesn't understand, why is my dad stopping me from going? Mm. There's no cars coming. There's no cars. I don't understand why is my father not allowing me to cross. But then God reminded me, he's like, listen, your father is with you. He's continually guiding you. He knows when to go, when to stop. Mm. Yes, where you want to go is across the other road. Yes, there may not be obstacles, but this is not the time to go. Mm. Regardless if it's a red man and there's cars not going, don't go until it's a green man. So even from that standpoint,
like, yeah, don't go until God says.
We have to be obedient, you know. And sometimes it goes against our flesh because she ticks almost every box. She prays. She sings. She sings.
She's
got
the singing one. Woo!
She's got this. She's got that. Mm. And it makes sense.
Sorry,
but it might be good. But is it God?
It might be good, but is it God? So, okay, yeah,
very true.
It's hard because I'm speaking to myself here, but. When it comes down to it, we have to realize that God wants our best. It's a twisted mindset to feel like God is going to give us somebody ugly, twisted, like we don't even find attractive.
Right, I agree.
God will never do that. God will always give us our best. His best for us. Because right. He loves us. He cares for us. Right. He knows our desires, our intentions, and what we want, but he's never going to give us.
And God knowing you for you,
mm-hmm.
yes.
He knows you more than you know yourself.
Yep.
So he knows the person. He also knows the person that you're going to be with also. Whoever you choose, whether you go, I'm going to marry this one. Oh, I'm going to change it. He knew that was going to happen in the first place, yeah. So he knows the person that was going to marry you. Now, I believe, does God order the footsteps of his children? Does he order your footsteps? Do you believe? I mean...
Yeah, the Bible says it. I believe
he orders
that.
It, but then that goes into like free will and stuff. It's a bit long, but so like he orders your footsteps. So then how do we know that he didn't order my footsteps and another woman's footsteps to now get married? So then if I now go out of that and say I choose whoever I want, am I really choosing who I want?
In you choosing who you want, how do you know that isn't God redirecting you to that person? Do you know what I mean? So you could actually go, all right, I like this person.
Am I really choosing?
It's just like, I say permissive will and perfect will. Because he'll still allow you to do what you want because you still have that will in order to do it.
And then there's perfect
will. And then there's perfect will.
Which you actually do what he tells you to do.
And then it comes back to where Adam blamed God for giving Eve.
Right.
Yeah, and he's like, you gave me the woman.
Yeah.
So it comes back to where I feel like, how can I say this? God isn't going to take responsibility of your neglect or your misresponsibility of doing stuff.
Right. Yeah. So was it God's God's authority doesn't negate man's responsibility or something like that? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because we can come back and say that, oh God, did the woman you told me to marry, she messed up. She did this. She did that. But in retrospect, you know, was the one who chose it.
It's true. But are we as men, like our generation, and maybe Christian men and non-Christian men, are we like intentional, you know, hunting down the woman like we, like our forefathers did? Like, are we really doing that?
We still are. So. Yes.
I don't think so.
I believe that we pursue multiple women.
I was at a birthday party yesterday, and it was like all the girls were on the left-hand side and all the guys were on the right-hand side. I'm not saying we should all get together and be whining, dancing, but it was like primary school where it's like everyone's scared to like mix and mingle. And I feel like that is what's happening in our generation nowadays. So you get people that end up in situationships where the man is chatting to you every night. You know, you're linking up, you're going for dinner, all of the things that couples would do, but he's not committing to you. So you get a situationship.
Leave
or you
commitment.
Get friends with benefits, or you get all of these little variations where it's like, I want the good stuff, but I don't want to commit to you wholly and fully. So I feel like that's what our generation is experiencing
basically
a lot more, as opposed to, I'm a committed man,
a lack
I'm on
of
you,
commitment.
I want you, that's it, I'm out of the game.
There's a lack of commitment.
There's a lack of that, and I think a lot of women are like now getting very frustrated because women, on the one hand, we don't want women to approach us, and we don't like it when
and
they
the
approach
time,
us, but at the same
them.
Time, we're not approaching them.
So what do you want
so
them
it's
to
like,
do?
Well, how's this going to work? What do you got think? You said you think that we are, Afo, so why do you think that we are as intentional as...
I think we are intentional, but I think using a birthday party as an example is... I wouldn't use that as a great example. The reason being is because, like... It's difficult to... I think people are still scared to express themselves in an environment like that. But to say that guys aren't pursuing women, I think... I don't believe so. I think they're doing it in their own way, however that may be.
It may not be
in that environment, but I still believe that we are still pursuing women. Women. So not woman. Women, as in many women.
Yeah, but
we're not doing no one thing. It's probably two or three. Okay, not we. Not I. Not I. Not I. Okay, not I.
The view shared by
by everybody in this room is not shared by me. Okay, no, but I do believe that we are still pursuing.
Why do you believe that? What evidence do you have to show that people are still? And I'm not
when we're talking.
I'm not talking
when we're having our private chats. Yeah,
yeah.
It's not as if that we're just like sitting there, you know, thinking about our boys.
No. Yeah, but what I'm saying, you're missing the point. What I'm saying is, I'm not saying that we don't have desires for women, specific women, or we don't have desires and we're not talking to them in that way. What I'm saying is that on a whole, I feel like our generation is a games generation and we're a non-committed generation. So I'm saying men,
okay,
our forefathers, the guys back in the day, it was like what my friend's mum was saying was, you know, back in the day, a man would just come up to you and go, "Oh, rah, I think you're nice." And then if she liked him, she'd like be like, "Okay." Or if not, she'd just be like, "Oh, no, I'm not interested." And then he'd be like, "All right, have a good evening. That's it." But now it's kind of like, "I've got a mandate and I've got all of this." So it's all like, what I'm basically trying to say is that we're not as confident, I think, to pursue girls.
But if we know that properly, we have to be like that because we know women like that, why don't we just do it?
That's my point.
It's hard, especially if you've been rejected again and again and again.
Like you said, there's only so much egg that you can have on your face.
In your face.
It's true. It's very true. Yeah.
Before you become an omelet.
Yeah. I guess to conclude, Todd, what would you say to young men, teenagers right now, who are struggling in their manhood? What advice would you give to them?
Find a community. Find a community of Christian brothers who you look up to, married men that you look up to, and just cling to them. Just be bold and be like, I like the way your marriage is going. I see the way you interact with your children, the way you are in church and in outside church. See the way you like the way he structures his life. Clinton, because as guys, we need community of guys. You know, it's easy for girls to do that in retrospect. But for guys, it's either when you're you can meet all your man them, but we never really talk about deep root issue stuff. It's always surface. Build your community of guys who are helping you to get to the place where you need to be, you know, who are able to tell you, bro, you messed up, you need to fix up. Or they say, no, keep going, man, you're doing an amazing job. They're affirming you, they're helping you, and increase your relationship with Christ, you know. Like you said, God is going to be your father. Increase your relationship with him. Like I said, I went through a manhood course. You can do that, read books on manhood. Challenge yourself to really understand what is it to be a man. And many guys, we don't challenge ourselves. We just carry on with the flows of life. And then when the issue comes, we kind of blag it. And we're not really sure what it is. Even from the course that we've done, they had four traits of a manhood, of man. The four faces of a man. So there's a king face, there's a warrior face, there's a lover face, and there's a friend face. So a king face is when you are able to stand in your principles. So you're able to say, I'm not going to have sex before I'm married. I'm not going to cheat on this test. I'm not going to use fraud to get what I want. I'm going to be integral. My warrior face is where I'm going to strive through trials and tribulations that come through my way. I'm going to face life, come to life face on, you know. Your friend face is where you're able to talk and be good to your friends. You're able to talk about deep stuff. You're able to have fun, have an adventure with them. Your lover face is where you're able to be open, emotionally open. You're able to have sacrificial love. If you're in a relationship, you're able to have that physical affection if you're married. So yeah, the sort of four faces, developing that as a journey throughout your whole life. Really.
That's good.
That's so good. Your wife is coming, man. Your wife is coming, bro.
Hallelujah.
Hey, man.
So, are you single?
Are you single? I'm actually thinking, I feel like I've got someone for Todd's life, you know, but anyway, we'll talk separately.
Yes, I am.
You are single?
I am single. It's crazy because I know a lot of theory, but I haven't put the practical into
place. Oh, yeah, you and me both.
So, I don't want anyone to neglect. So, hold on, he's talking about all this stuff, but he hasn't even got a girl.
In it.
So,
you should have seen the neck.
He's not even married. So, obviously, that's why I say I take my aspects from married men.
Yes.
And I'm able to present it.
It's very good to be around married men. Like, my church, everyone's married pretty much. So, like, it's actually, like, good to be around them. I don't even know what I'm catching, but I know I'm catching something.
You'll catch
I'm
something.
Learning. Yeah, you know, you learn something without even realizing it. So,
it's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
One thing I do realize is that you're not the boss.
Yeah.
Like, when, oh, guys, do you want to do this? Like, so, like, we'll be doing the man's, sorry, man, them. Like, we'll be, so we'll be like, oh, guys, let's go hang out. And then, literally, I'm like, let's go cinema and watch this. They all turn to their wives. On Tuesday, I want to, and it's like, rah, like, this will be us. Mm. Where if we want to fellowship again and meet up, we're going to be like, babe, I want to go do this with the man them. Like, is it cool? Like, oh no, that day we're doing this. And you kind of, you'll be like, okay, sorry guys, I can't do it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
That is.
I think as a man, you also have to learn to die to yourself.
Yeah.
A lot. I've heard that, you know, there's a phrase that said, the boy in you must die. You know, as a man, we're dying to ourselves daily, especially for our wives.
Sacrificial
love comes in again. So once we're learning to die to ourselves, then our wives will be able to follow us as well. I've heard of an example of a guy when he literally just got married a couple months ago, and he didn't realize how much his wife follows and leads after him, in the sense of where he wants his asked his wife, I'm gonna get something to eat. Do you want something? And she says, oh no. Until he goes out and gets it and brings it, that's when she now realizes, oh, I actually want to eat. And he goes, hold on, why didn't you just say you wanted something? But in realizing that, hold on, my wife is actually following after me, leading after me, and to the point of where, even if you're having an argument, you have to die to yourself and not to be like, oh yeah, you're wrong, I'm right. Because at the time of when you die to yourself, in the time of where she's actually wrong, she'll come to you and realize, hold on, my husband, even though I was wrong, he actually said he said sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go up to him and say I'm sorry. So the wife is learning from that. Wow, you dying
deep
to yourself.
Very deep, boy. It's very deep.
We can marry now because we are not.
Now we've had this. We can marry. I know they said, you know, you have to ask your wife, but one thing my wife will not come before is the point. You will not come. No, I'm joking. I love you, babes. I love you, whoever you are.
She won't do that. dare not do that.
She dare not. But yes, thank you, Todd, for joining. Thank you, ladies, for joining also.
Thank you, Todd.
This has been The Point Podcast. Please follow us on social media. You can catch us on Twitter on The Point Podcast. That's The Point, PDCST. You can also follow us on Instagram at The Point Official and on Snapchat at The Point Official as well.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Type in The Point as one word and you should be able to find us. If you can't, look at the description below on SoundCloud or Apple Podcasts. Okay. Yeah.
Soon to be Spotify too.
Oh, soon to be Spotify as well. Yeah, yeah, soon.
Give us a shout out.
Yeah,
shout
do you want to do any shout outs?
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to my church, New Christian Centre. And it's in Croydon. Shout out to
my mum.
Yeah, my family had that. 412 men, gathering of guys that we come and we just chill, we talk, we munch on the word. We're currently meeting at London Bridge. So yeah, just look out. I'll probably give you guys the details and you can share that.
Dude,
and also, we've got a breakfast meal on the 30th of June. 10
you do egg and bread.
It's a restaurant. So is that a pumpkin? Is that the pumpkin in Westfields? So 10 a.m. 30th of June, depending on when this comes out.
We but yeah. point will well one third of the point will be there.
Yeah, two thirds.
Two thirds of the point will be there.
Yeah, if you ain't got a gathering of guys already not in your church or that you know, just come fellowship with us. And yeah, we're just being open, being transparent, telling our issues, our struggles, our strengths, our weaknesses, and just munching on the word, discipling each other, being accountable to each other, which is absolutely key. So yeah, just come through, mandem.
Dope.
And also, ladies, tell your cousins, your brothers, the guy you're talking to, your situationship. Tell him we'll bring him.
And that situationship will break in Jesus' name. Yeah, man.
Bring him. Yeah, yeah. We'll fellowship.
The ladies in the room wait. Yeah. Cool. Thank you, Todd. Right. We out. Peace.